Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Dr. Anthea Jeffrey is head of research at the Institute of Race Relations. Has the Land Expropriation Amendment Act been rejected completely? Is that fully shut down, or do we still need to worry? Good morning.
Good morning. Well, certainly the 18th Constitutional Amendment Bill has been shut down. The ANC didn't begin to marshal the two-thirds majority that at minimum would have been necessary to pass it. So I think that the attempt to change the Constitution has reached the end of the line, at least for now. But of course, the ANC has been deeply committed to state ownership or control of land for decades as part of its national democratic revolution. What it knows, too, however, is that there's a balance of forces within the country, that when it puts forward a controversial policy proposal, if there's strong resistance to it, then it may in time decide to draw back, to take one step back so that in future it can take two steps forward. So I think we have something to celebrate now with the defeat of the Constitutional Amendment Bill. But unfortunately, there's not reason for complacency, because that the interest in taking two steps forward is still there. And the ANC has various measures in mind for that purpose.
We know that the ANC is pretty useless at implementing anything, but over the last 20-something years, they haven't been able to push this through even when they had greater support from the people of the country. Does that signify that they didn't really ever want to do this, or that they are just pretty incompetent?
Well, I think one must also look back to how much resistance there has been against these various attempts. You know, if you think all the way back to 2008, when the first version of the expropriation bill came out, that would have excluded the courts from doing anything more than approve the amount of compensation recommended by the minister or other official. And the IRR and various other organizations mounted a resistance against that. And so the bill in the end was withdrawn, and a less unconstitutional but still unconstitutional version was put forward in 2013 and then again in 2015 and so on. So it's been a long fight, and each time there has been resistance against the unconstitutionality of the ANC's measures. And each time I think it has withdrawn. Perhaps most recently it withdrew in 2016, because by then it had in mind that it would go for the expropriation without compensation option. And that's now written into the current version of the expropriation bill, which has now a new clause dealing with the compensation payable, which says this can be null in 5 listed circumstances, and makes it clear that that list is not a closed list. So it could be null in very many other instances too. So there is there's a level of incompetence in the ANC when it comes to implementing any policy, when it comes to actually making sure that a wastewater plant functions properly or so. But it is relatively easy if you have the right majority in Parliament to pass a law. So I think we must be very grateful to all the organizations and people who've resisted the ANC's attempt to do this very damaging change to the law over many years, and hope that they'll keep on mobilizing and resisting against new proposals. And the most telling one right now is the new version of the expropriation bill, which will be coming back to Parliament early next year.
To me it was interesting that it was the EFF afterwards who seemed to have shouted the loudest with their veiled threats, something that we've gotten quite used to, you know, talking about taking this outside of Parliament. Now, we don't know whether that means violence. We don't know if that means through the court system external to Parliament. It's typical EFF stuff. But it was fascinating to me that it was the EFF that were making the most noise after the failure of this bill rather than the ANC. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the ANC, obviously, perhaps because of the resistance it's encountered from the rest of society, warnings by former President Topper and Becky and others, decided it would not proceed with a constitutional amendment. So though it obviously it had its people there and it had a number of propaganda claims in support of the bill, it certainly wasn't in the mode where it was threatening violence. And on the whole, that's not the ANC stance. It doesn't threaten violence.
Yeah.
It talks about the great injustice, which, of course, there is reality in the great injustice. Excuse me. And it pretends that it has the solution with the bill that it's coming up with. I'm just trying to get rid of the cost. But the EFF has always been urging, as you say, that people should take the law into their own hands, that there should be land occupations. And unfortunately, there has been an increase in land occupations over the last couple of years, particularly since COVID lockdown began, because the disaster management regulations say that nobody can be evicted in this period. Obviously, there shouldn't be invasions in this period, but it does certainly make it harder for the city of Cape Town, other municipalities, to resist any invasion that does happen. And there's also a worrying tie-up potentially with the expropriation bill, because one of the circumstances in which you can get no compensation is if you've lost, if you've abandoned your land by losing control over it. Now, people can lose control over their land in various ways, but a land invasion is one of the ways in which that could happen. So one fears that if the EFF is beginning to orchestrate a greater number of land invasions, that the expropriation bill could then result in the municipality saying, well, you don't have the control of this particular piece of land anymore, so therefore we can expropriate it for no compensation. That would be a particularly cynical way of working together.
Absolutely, it really would be, and quite alarming. Are there any cases where there is a legitimate reason that we could imagine a case for expropriation without compensation?
I think it is possible in very rare circumstances where land really accurately has no market value. And, you know, you try and think of an example. One that I wondered about is if you've got a piece of land that's been intensively mined, whether what minerals will remain in it are no longer recoverable, but there's such a sort of rabbit warren of tunnels underneath the land that it can't be used for any purpose without some sort of expensive remediation. You couldn't use it for housing, whatever. It might be possible in that situation that you have a piece of land that genuinely has no market value. And then you might say, well, then the state doesn't need to pay because the land really is not worth anything. But that, of course, would be extremely rare. And it's not what the ANC or the EFF have in mind. Both of them have in fact been pushing for custodianship for a long time. I think there's often perhaps a misperception that this is just the EFF's idea, which the ANC has sort of belatedly kind of been pushed into going along with. But the ANC, back in 2014, put forward a bill under which the state would have taken custodianship of all agricultural land. And that was, again, fought against by the IRR and many other organizations, so in the end they withdrew it. But you could see that back then they certainly had the idea that all agricultural land should move into state custodianship. And there have been hints since then by senior people in land departments that they still have the idea that custodianship should be the route to go, and that it could extend extremely widely. They find it impolitic right now to say all land, because they know that that would mean a kind of outcry from the millions of black people who either do have ownership of their own houses. We have something like 8 million black people who own houses, often in sort of quotes at the moment, because they don't have title deeds and they can't easily prove their ownership. But, you know, within sort of community circles, to the extent that these systems operate informally, their ownership is recognized. What we primarily need is to give them complete ownership, recognized by, backed up by title deed and registration. But at least those 8 million people don't want to lose the rights they have, and they would be very resistant to the ANC overtly talking about custodianship of all that, which is partly why I think they've drawn back from the EFF position and have decided that they will now pursue the custodianship issue perhaps in a very different way. And I was interested to see that one of the bills now to be brought before Parliament at some point in the future is a land tenure bill. And that land tenure bill could provide for custodianship of, who knows what that. It might be a richard or agricultural land. It could be all privately held land.
Absolutely.
Whatever. Yeah.
So given the state of where it's at right now, what is likely to be the ANC's next move?
The expropriation bill will be the first measure, which will come before Parliament early in 2022. The ANC also has in the pipeline the land court bill, which is a very worrying measure. I think many people think it's reassuring that the Constitution and the expropriation bill say that disputes over compensation will be decided by the court. Which court is going to be a critical issue? And the land court bill is supposed to provide one answer, that only land court bills will have jurisdiction. And the land court is going to be a very particular type of court. There will be judges on it, but they may well be chosen more for their land activism than for their judicial experience. Possible, of course, that very few of the judges appointed will have been judges in the past. And then there will be, in many cases, two lay assessors appointed as well, who could undoubtedly be land activists. And they will have the power to outvote the judge on all matters of fact. And how much compensation should be paid is going to be seen as a matter of fact, I would think. So the protection that the court should offer will be eroded through something like the land court bill, which will allow these lay activists to decide all important questions of fact. And you won't be able to appeal to the Supreme Court of Appeal, which is a good court still. You'll have only the land court bill, the land appeal court, the land act, the land court itself, and then an appeal court established in the same way. And then finally up to the Constitutional Court, which is also unfortunately something of a politicized court. So that's in the pipeline too.
Yeah.
The protection which should come from the courts is being eroded in this rather subtle way.
Dr. Anthea Jeffrey, Head of Research at the Institute of Race Relations, was chatting to us about the Land Expropriation Amendment Bill that was rejected yesterday.